we looking at
Is this your
now?
tag here?
No, actually, the Computer History Museum, or it's actually called here the Computer Museum History Center, was starring it, but it was always part of Tony Cole's collection, and
Okay.
so when they basically asked him to remove the systems from their storage, I got it.
Oh, I see.
So that's how it ended up here.
Well, this is the back side. This is the wire mat. And all this wiring was hand wired by women in Chippewa.
Just like the gray one.
Yeah. But see, this is pretty accessible here, but you can imagine when you're working on a full-size cray too that goes, you know, all the way around to about here. You know, you're basically, you know,
It's quite
I mean,
inaccessible.
you could get inside, but it was, you know, it was right here
Right,
for a guy like me. So,
I'd say it was sort of difficult to get into.
yeah, it's basically wired by farmers' wives.
Yeah, I was told that Seymour chose them because of their weaving skills and
Yeah,
their precision of their
and they
work.
have, and they're small. I mean, women are smaller, and they have small hands, and they can get in there. I mean, the basic limitation was if you had, if you tried to wire this with a guy, only one guy would fit in here.
Yeah.
And if you did it with two women, you can get two women in here,
Two women, so
and stitching all in.
they could do it
Yeah, and twice the time, or half the time.
half the time.
This,
So does this look familiar to you?
it's been a long time since I've seen this, and I'm not. I know what this is, but I don't remember if this is original or not. This is what's called a test panel, and these are all little coaxial connections.
Right.
And they would, when they were checking out a module or design, you know, trying to figure out what was going on with a bad module, they put this panel in, and they'd hook the other side up to test points on the module.
Right.
And then this basically gets the wires through the, you know, through the fluorinert interface. So they'd hook up their oscilloscope to here and watch what it's doing. So you could tell it was a little bit onerous work, because you'd have to decide what you wanted to look at ahead of time, wire it up, and then pump it up, fire it up, and
Right, because you pump it down, then you pump it up.
yeah.
So it would have been a useful to have this machine to do module testing, because that's all it would be used for. Because it was so much smaller, it'd be easier to use for module testing.
Yeah, and you lose less fluorinert, and when you pump it up and down, it took oh, nigh on 2 to 3 minutes to pump this thing down
Right.
to get all the fluorinert out of it. And most of the time, you know, they don't have to pump it down to about this level,
Right.
because you weren't working on the power supplies. But once in a while, when a power supply go out, you'd have to pump it all the way down.
So you'd pump it down, you'd take all these panels off, take the bolts off.
Well, you hardly ever took these off in the back. You took
And
them,
in the front,
all the maintenance was done from the front.
and then you take them off and you have a special tool to pull the module out.
Yeah.
And then it would presumably sort of drag this wiring out, and then you disconnect connectors.
No, there's this wiring stays. There's each module has got a connector.
Okay, its own little
Yeah,
socket, basically.
each module, remember, was 8 boards.
Right.
So it's 8 rows by about 60 pins. And so each module has just got a grid of 8 by about 60 pins that went into the backplane
So
connector.
you never really messed with the wiring.
Yeah, this wiring stayed as is, unless you had some serious issue or something. So the only other time you'd mess with it is if you had to add a disk controller or something, or some cabling you had to do back here to sort of get it in the loop, the foreground loop.
That's a lot of good information about
You know,
a mysterious machine.
all the wiring has been chopped off on the bottom here.
Yeah, it's sort of unceremoniously been cut. That's why it's up on these these sandbags because it still has the cabling underneath it and it wouldn't sit flat otherwise. So it's been a bit chopped, but.
Yeah, we've got serial 21 still in its full condition. We'll never run it again.
Presumably this one is probably one of, it could be run again if you had a huge effort and budget, but.
Yeah, but trying to find the documentation to, you know, even all the hookups here.
Yeah.
We're missing columns to hold the.
To hold the fluorinator.
We're also missing a pod, which controlled all the power flow and stuff.
And as you say, your laptop has 8 times the memory.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, people restore B-29 bombers and stuff. It could be done. It would take a bit of an effort. And this one, I guess this one never, the four, there was a name plaque right about here on the,
on the crew, on the Cray 2s.
The real Cray 2s.
Yeah. I doubt whether they would have made a name plaque for this,
Yeah, since it was a prototype, I guess we never had one. There doesn't appear to be any holes or anything. I don't think it's been ripped off.
In fact, this was known sort of affectionately over at the Computer History Museum as the Slice, the Cray Slice, because they didn't know what it was. Because they have a, you know, a beautiful Cray 2, but this obviously looked like a slice of a Cray 2, but it was a standalone system, obviously. It was complete.
Now, which Cray Museum are you talking about?
The Computer History Museum over the hill in Mountain View. They've got a Cray 2 with waterfall and the whole bit.
Yeah, now where is that?
That is on Shoreline on 101. They have a visible storage there and offices. Well, the old SGI building, ironically.
Oh, there's some irony.
There's some irony. That is some irony. And then the building's all purple inside. Purple this and purple dividers.
Oh, I like that. I need to take a picture or two or three.